Do I look all right? You know, I just want to speak to the single girls for a moment today. All the girls, just look at me for a moment. And I want you to listen carefully. You know that guy you really like? He is so handsome. He is so good looking. He is so hot. Girls, I want to tell you something. In 30 years, this is what he's going to look like. I used to have a middle part, then I went to a side part, now I've gone to the D part. It's really convenient being a man, you know. You get up in the morning, you're like this, your hair is done, and out the door with, you know, slap your face a couple times, your makeup's done, I'm good, well on the way. Being a woman is a horrible thing. I've heard of women, they get up in the morning, they look at themselves in the mirror, they scream, and then they begin a process. Foundation, mortar, cement, I mean, it's... You call it makeup. I know, I'm just teasing you. But it's funny that we try to make ourselves out to be something that we're not. You know, and I'm not trying to pick on you ladies. I do the same thing, actually. Every morning I get up and I go like this. What is that? Deodorant, right? I want you to think that I smell good. Reality is I don't, right? And I don't think, actually, that God has a problem with us. You know, like you ladies, you've done a wonderful job. I mean, I have no idea what you started with today, but you look wonderful. But I don't think God has a problem with us, you know, taking a shower, making ourselves look nice. But sometimes I wonder if we're in balance in our lives. How many of you ladies took more than 5 minutes to get ready today? Just put your hands up. I have a lot of lying people in this place. We will have a call later for that, but it's, if we spend, you know, let's say a half an hour on the outside, how about we spend a half an hour on the inside? What do you think? Does that sound like a good idea? See, a lot of us prepare the outward that everyone, see, man looks on the outward appearance, doesn't he? But God looks at the heart. And see, that's really where God wants to change us. I mean, it's great if you look great on the outside. I used to. But I'm happy. You know, my wife, Pastor Graham, she says, you look better now than when I first married you. I pray God never touches her eyes. Because, I mean, I know that I've degenerated in my appearance. It's just not been so good. But when you look at me today, I look okay, right? Look, I look all right. Now, are you two related? Yeah, you're married. Okay, how long have you been married? Just about 7 years. Have you ever argued in that time? I know if they say no, they're lying. But you look like such a beautiful couple. How could you argue? You know, this is the impression we sometimes have when we look at people. We just think, they could never argue. They're just so wonderful, right? Now, are you related as well? Just by marriage? How many years? 16. Ever had an argument? See, the reason I ask these questions is just so we all don't have this strange idea that everybody else has it all together. You know, you look at Pastor Graham and you think, well, he probably has never argued with his children or his wife. Probably never even raised his voice. Baloney! I don't know him that well, but I know it happens. I've even raised my voice at my children. I don't know if I've done it yet today. I remember one man said, you know, Lord, I haven't yelled at anyone yet today. I've been good today. I haven't lost my temper, but in a few minutes I'm going to get out of bed. See, all of us have struggles. Now, when you look at me today, do I look like I have it all together? It looks like it, doesn't it? Besides the hair, how about it? But if you were to look a little bit deeper into who I am, you'd say, man, this guy's got some issues. Now, this is not a Mr. T starter set. This is a real chain. Now, when you looked at the outside of me, you couldn't see that I was carrying a heavy weight. This chain probably weighs between maybe 10 and 15 pounds. But you couldn't tell that. And this is kind of like a picture of the spirit man of many, many of us. You see, when I was a kid, I was abused just one time. And as a result of that, I became horribly addicted to pornography. Now, pornography isn't something that is advertised on the church sign too often. But there's a major problem of many people struggling with different issues in their lives. Mine was this issue. There's people who don't say, man, that doesn't bother me a bit. But struggle with prescription medication or different things, maybe bitterness, hatred, envy. You know, see, the devil, he is very, very clever. He doesn't just say, oh, I'm going to try to get Pastor Graham with the same thing that Lloyd had. He'll sit there and try to get him to become bitter or upset because someone hurts him. He'll try to get you with something else. You know, he knows exactly where he can get you. Do you understand what I'm saying? He's very clever. So you might say today, well, oh, he's talking about that. I don't even need to listen. The principles that I tell you about how I got free are the same for almost any addiction, bondage, or stronghold in your life. Now, when I began to struggle with this stuff, I didn't really struggle till I was about probably 16 years old. You see, I went to church all the time. I heard the Ten Commandments, and I knew what the right thing to do was, but I went the wrong way. You know what I mean? I knew it was wrong to steal, to lie, to cheat, to dishonor my father and mother. You know, even though I knew that was the wrong thing to do, that's the way I went. The Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man, the end thereof is destruction. I headed for destruction. But when I was 16 years old, I remember listening to a preacher, and he said, if you want to have all your sins forgiven, you need to turn away from your own way and turn to God's way. And God's way is putting your faith and your trust in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, his son, on the cross. Now, if you don't really know what that is, Pastor Graham probably could teach you more about that next Sunday or in the Sundays to follow. But when I was 16, I made a commitment and a decision to follow Jesus Christ. And the moment I turned away from my sin and turned to God, you know what the word for that is? Repentance. I put my faith and trust in him. And the moment I did that, he had this set of scissors and he cut the straps to the backpack and all my sin fell off. How many of you remember the day that happened to you? All right. Wasn't that a great day? I love that day. I ran across the football field. I was so happy. And I was forgiven. And for about 2 years, I did pretty well. When I got to be about 18 years old, I got tangled up in impurity in my thought life again. And I thought, if I just get married, all my troubles will be over. And all the married men said, they didn't say a whole lot. The reason I say this, guy, especially for you younger men, if you think that getting married will fix all your problems, it just doesn't work that way. I married the most wonderful woman alive. I know you're delusional, you think your wife is, but she couldn't fix what was wrong with me because I was broken inside. And as much as she was a great wife to me and everything like that, she couldn't fix what was broken in me. And so then we had one and two children, and I'm still struggling with this garbage in my brain. And to boot, or on top of it all, I was in ministry. I was traveling with my wife and her husband, my wife, strike that from the record, my wife and her parents. They traveled, the Phillips family, they were a singing group, and I traveled with them for a while. And so here I was, a man in ministry with two children and a wife, struggling in my thought life. And that was really discouraging to me, because the Bible says, if any man is in Christ, old things have passed away and all things have become new. And in my life, the old things had not passed away. In fact, there was a lot of the old things still there. And it was discouraging to me because I thought, perhaps the Bible doesn't really work. And so I began to try to get free. I tried memorizing scripture. I memorized almost the whole book of James. I began to pray a lot. I began to read good books. And just tried even fasting. Have you guys ever tried fasting? Don't you hate fasting? I can get up in the morning, you know, be determined. I'm going to fast for 40 days, just water. And by 10 o'clock, I am on a juice fast. And by lunchtime, I'm on a Daniel fast. You know what I'm saying? Can any of you relate to that? The honest ones can. Okay, good. So Fasting didn't help. Praying didn't help. Memorizing scripture didn't help. Reading good books didn't help. What do I do? I was ready to give up. In fact, I became so discouraged sometimes, I even despaired of my life. And while reading one more book, I read a story, and I think the story really helped me to understand where freedom comes from. Let me tell you the story. On the screen, you will see a picture of Abraham Lincoln and one of the slaves. Now, back in 1860, Abraham Lincoln emancipated all the colored people in the United States. Are you familiar with the history? Now, there was a slave emancipated in 1860 by Lincoln, and he went to his master and he said, "Am I a free man?" And his master said, "No, it doesn't apply to you. You're still my slave." And so instead of acting on the truth, he believed a lie and continued to walk in slavery. For 4 years he did that. Finally, he came back. He saw all the other plantations are empty of slaves. And here he is still on the plantation. And he goes back to his master and says, "Hey, I think I'm a free man. I'm out of here." And he walks away from the plantation. Now, when I read that story, I'm thinking, what a stupid slave. Why didn't he act on the truth the moment he heard it? And then it was like God said to me, "You are exactly like that slave." See, the moment we believe, that moment we are free. Now you're saying, how does that work? Well, I didn't really understand it myself exactly for many years, but there's a scripture that goes along with this. You see, Abraham Lincoln was the emancipator. We all agree? Jesus Christ was our emancipator. He took his finger, dipped it in his blood, and signed our emancipation document. Lloyd Vandenberg, no longer a slave to sin. Pastor Graham, no longer a slave to sin. I don't know what name you have, but he signed the document. And we have an old master. Can you tell me what his name is? Satan. And he'll tell you, you'll never be free. And many times, we believe him rather than the truth. Are you following me? Now, I was amazed when I just heard that story because it unlocked a part of my brain. I was thinking, I have been so foolish as to believe my old master for so long. And I began to study the scripture. Let's go through Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 19. Well then, shall we keep sinning so God can keep showing us more and more kindness and forgiveness? Of course not. Should we keep sinning when we don't have to? For sin's power over us was broken when we became Christians and were baptized to become part of Jesus Christ. Through his death, the power of your sinful nature was shattered. Your old sin-loving nature was buried with him by baptism when he died, and when God the Father, with glorious power, brought him back to life again, you were given his wonderful new life to enjoy. For you have become a part of him, and so you died with him, so to speak, when he died, and now you share his new life and shall rise as he did. Now I want all of you to put your hands up like this. All right? Now give me all your money. No, I'm just kidding. All right, so this is you, and this is God, or Christ. Okay? Now the Bible says when you receive Christ, you are in him and he is in you. So I want you to put your hands in each other. Now move them back and forth. All right? So whatever Christ did, you did. Are you with me? Okay, why is that important? Well, let's go to verse 6. Your old evil desires nailed to the cross with him. Part of your body that loves to sin, crushed and fatally wounded. So your sin-loving body is no longer under sin's control, no longer needs to be a slave to sin. Did you get that? That is one of the most powerful scriptures in the Bible when it comes to freedom. Okay? You no longer need to sin. Do you know that before you know Christ, you are a slave to sin? That means there's a chain that chains you to the law. It's the law of sin, and sin drags you where you don't want to go. Have you ever felt like, oh, I don't want to do this anymore, but you do it anyway? Right? None of you felt that? Okay. I don't want to drink any more alcohol, but you did it. I don't want to lose my temper again, but you did it. I don't want to, on and on and on, right? Especially before you know Jesus, you are a slave to sin. That's what the Bible says. You can sin a lot or you can sin a little, but you cannot quit. But this scripture says, once you know him, you have become free from the law of sin. See, there's a legal document that chains us to sin. It's called the law. But when you receive Christ, he releases us from that. Now you're saying, oh, does that mean I don't have to obey the law? Well, let's go through the scriptures because it'll talk about this. When you're dead to the sin, you're freed from all its allure and power over you. Next slide. Since your old sin-loving nature died with Christ, we know that you will share his new life. Christ rose from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. He died once for all to end sin's power, but now he lives forever in unbroken fellowship with God. So look upon your old sin nature as dead and unresponsive to sin, and instead be alive to God, alert to him through Jesus Christ our Lord. In the King James it says, reckon yourself to be free. Now in Canada we don't know what reckon means, but if you go to South Carolina or Alabama, they say, what do you reckon? And that means, what do you think? Think of yourself as free men. If we think like slaves, we'll act like slaves. If we think like free men, we can begin to act like free men. We got to believe. Don't let sin control your puny body any longer. Don't give in to its sinful desires. Don't let any part of your body become tools of wickedness to be used for sinning. But give yourselves completely to God, every part of you, for you are back from death and you want to be tools in the hands of God to be used for his good purposes. Sin need never again be your master, for now you are no longer tied to the law where sin enslaves you, but you are free under God's favor and mercy. Does this mean we can go ahead and sin and not worry about it? For our salvation does not depend on keeping the law, but on receiving God's grace? Of course not. Don't you realize you can choose your own master? You can choose sin with death, or else obedience with acquittal. The one to whom you offer yourself, he will take you and be your master, and you will be his slave. Thank God that though you once were slaves to sin, now you've obeyed with all your heart the teaching to which God has committed you. And now you're free from your old master sin. You become slaves to your new master righteousness. I speak this way using this illustration of slaves and masters because it's easy to understand. Just as you used to be slaves to all kinds of sins, so now you must let yourselves be slaves to all that is right and holy. Now, do you have my keys back there, guys? I think you might. Because I need to do something here. You can just throw them to me. Thank you. Now the Bible says when Jesus Christ died, he went down into the depths. Some people say he went to hell. I'm not exactly sure where he went. If you know exactly where he went, you can let me know. But I believe he picked up the keys or the legal right to release us from the law of sin. So we were chained to sin. Jesus Christ went somewhere, I think it was hell. He got the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And he now has the ability to put, when you receive Jesus Christ, he puts the keys of death, hell, and the grave, and he puts them in the lock that chains you to sin. And the moment you believe, you become released from the law of sin. Can you see this chain is unlocked? All of you, can you see that? All right? So, you know, I think it's a great thing when we become a believer that we have our sins forgiven. That is amazing. Isn't that awesome? But it's not the whole story. There's more. And it even gets better, I think. I mean, having your sins forgiven is awesome, isn't it? But being released from the enslaving power of sin is so amazing. All right? We have been released from the chains of sin. Now, how does that work? Well, let's go through just a little bit of teaching here, all right? Next slide. In John 8, verse 32, it says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You've heard that scripture before, correct? So, we need to believe what God says. The slave who believed his old master rather than his emancipator, Abraham Lincoln, was in trouble, wasn't he? We, when we listen to our old master, Satan, instead of our new master, Christ, are in trouble. We will act like slaves. We will. But we need to believe what God says. What did God say? You are no longer slaves. Say it with me. You are no longer slaves. So, I am no longer a slave. Why don't we say that? I am no longer a slave. Do you know Christ? Then why don't you say it with me? I am no longer a slave. Do you understand what you just said? You have no more obligation to sin. You're not legally bound to it anymore. So, if you know the truth, which many of you do, how come you still struggle? Well, let's go a little farther. In the New Testament was written in a language called Greek. In Greek, there's two words for knowing. There's gnosis and epignosis, both know or knowing, but they're different. One is an intellectual understanding and one is an experiential knowledge. All right. Now, what's the difference between experience and intellect? Well, my wife and I have six children, right? I have intellectual understanding of childbirth. We go to the hospital. My wife makes a bunch of racket. We have a child. Done it six times, it doesn't hurt a bit. How many of you ladies have had children? Does it hurt? See, you have a different knowing than I do, don't you? See, I know, but you know what it's like to have children. Does it hurt? It's very painful. I had gastritis once. They said that was just about a little bit like childbirth. I'm like, I would never have children. No way. You've got to be kidding me. But see, I never knew. I didn't know like you know. So God wants us to know truth like women know childbirth. Most of us know truth like men know childbirth. Do you see the difference? So I want all of you to imagine you failed somewhere in your life. You're trying not to do something and you failed last night. And you came to church this morning, you're getting ready for church this morning, and you hear this accusing voice, "You're still my slave." See, that's what would happen to me sometimes. I would fail on a Saturday, I'd get ready for church on Sunday morning, I'd be getting myself beautified, and Lord, it took a lot of work. But I'd hear that accuser, "You're still my slave." And I would begin to tell myself in the mirror, "I am free." Because God said so. Did I feel like I was free? No. Did I act like I was free? No. It's not how you feel. It's not how you act. It's what God says is what's true. Are you with me? So, I'm going to be the devil for a moment, and I'm going to accuse you, and I want you to tell me the truth. The truth is, I am free. All right? So you failed last night. You're still my slave. Now, when someone lies to you, do you always answer them so kindly? Can you give me a little bit more emotion? You're still my slave. You're never going to be free. Okay, some of you talk without your mouth moving. I don't know how people do that. But you know what? Sometimes with tears running down my face, I would be declaring what the Bible said about me because I knew the truth was there and I had to get it into my spirit. Some people say, isn't that like positive confession, you know? Positive confession is like when you cut your arm off at the shoulder and it's sitting on the ground and you just say, "I'm well, that's just my imagination." That's also called insanity. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about saying what God says about you, because that's what's true. See, feelings and even actions do not determine legal standing. Legal standing is determined by what God says. Are you with me? So, I began to be about 30% free, and I was really glad, but I still failed quite a bit. And I was so discouraged because I wanted to be 100% free. So I remember one day I was watching television and this great big name evangelist failed. And after I saw him fail, I just said to my wife, "I give up. I don't think I can live the life. If that man can't live the life, I quit." And my wife said to me, "Why don't you share the fact that you struggle with my parents?" Now, for those younger people in this room yet that haven't been married, let me explain something to you real quick. When you marry someone, their parents become your in-laws. They hate you. Now, I know some of you are going, "Oh, that's not true." Well, thank the Lord for you, the three of you that exist on this planet. But there are many people have had difficulty with their in-laws. Amen. You can just put your finger up in case your wife's well-looking, guys, right? I said, "Honey, I would rather eat crushed glass than share my faults with your parents." And I continued to struggle. But one day I got so tired of failure that I went to my mother and father-in-law and I said, "Would you guys please pray for me that God would give me a pure thought life?" And the moment I did that, this chain fell off. And I began to be so glad and so free that I began to dance in church. Can you imagine a white Dutch guy dancing in church? It doesn't look pretty. In fact, people, they say, "Man, you look like an idiot when you dance." And I said, "You know what? I'm not dancing for you. I'm dancing for him because he made me free. Hallelujah." And I began to just be so filled with this freedom. My mind was clean, and I didn't even understand how it happened. And for 6 months, I walked in this incredible freedom. Then one day, I got into an argument with one of my in-laws. I won't tell you which one it was, but she was right. And I felt this chain around my neck again. And I tried, you know, I'm a free man, I'm a free man, I'm a free man. But nothing worked. And then I went and apologized, and I was free again. I said, God, what's going on here? I don't understand. Something's changing dramatically in the spirit realm when I do certain things in the natural. And the Lord showed me two things. Next slide. James 5:16 says, confess your sins to each other. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Most of us, when we sin, we want to just confess to God, which is fine. It works. We can get forgiven that way. But do you want to be healed? Look at the scripture. Confess your sins to each other. Pray for each other and you'll be healed. What happens? Well, as you bring that out to a brother, to a sister, to someone who's got some Christian maturity, someone who loves you, that brings healing to you. Because they'll say, hey, you know what? I used to struggle with that too. Yeah, road rage or whatever it was. You know, it's just, yeah, I've had that. And here's what I did. Sometimes, you know, these groups like AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, Overeaters Anonymous, Sexaholics Anonymous, all these different groups, they have a principle that's found in the Word of God where they share together. I'm not saying all these groups are perfect. I'm just saying the principles that are found in God's Word can be working no matter where you use them. Are you following me? So I found I had to humble myself, radically humble myself. Like I could sometimes share with somebody, but I found the lower I went in humility, something happened. Next slide. James 4 verse 6 says, God favors the humble or gives extravagant grace to the humble. Extravagant grace is God's supernatural enabling that enables you to do what you cannot naturally do. All right? Grace. God's supernatural enabling that enables you to do what you cannot naturally do. If you're Twittering, you can Twitter that. That's a really good statement. All right? How many of you Twitter? Okay. Got a couple. How many of you know what Twitter is? Okay, we got a couple more. That's good. That's the social media. Anyway, all right. So I said, God, what does this really look like? What is going on in the spirit realm? So the Lord showed me a picture. Just look on the slide. Next slide. Just push it down once. This is me without my makeup on. All right. Now, God says we're all vessels or containers, and he wants to fill us with the grace of God. The grace of God is like the water that's trying to fill this container. The barrier that keeps the grace of God out of our lives is pride. It's invisible unless I write on it, right? Pride is kind of like bad breath. Everyone around you knows you have it, but you don't know it yourself. So I was full of pride. I didn't want to tell anybody. I could fast, I could pray, I could memorize scripture, I could read the Bible, I could do all this stuff, but I wasn't going to let anyone know where I struggled. And that was pride. So I had this problem. So next slide. One day I went to my in-laws and I said, would you guys pray for me? And I don't think this video is going to work, but what happens is when you humble yourself, you rip that pride off your life. And the grace of God fills up your container and you become overflowing with the grace of God. In fact, you become immersed in the grace of God. And you have so much of God's grace, so much of God's enabling, that he does amazing things for you. You know, we've sung the song so many years, Amazing Grace. I really don't think we have a clue of how amazing his grace is. His grace will wash your corrupted mind clean. His grace will enable you to love the unlovely. His grace will enable you to quit doing things that you could not possibly quit doing unless he gave you that supernatural ability to stop it. So I began to experience incredible grace. And I was about 90% free. I was so glad to be free, but I still failed once in a while. And I said, God, I want to live completely pure in heart. I don't want to fail at all. I want to confess something to you. Pastor Graham You may never want to have me back here again, but I sin every day. In fact, I sinned this morning. The speed limit's 100 kilometers. I go 110. Has anyone else ever done that? Sinners! Right? You're breaking the civil law, aren't you? But there's grace built into that. The police officers actually have told me you can go like 15 kilometers over at 100 kilometers and they're not going to even bother you. Right? There's an element of elasticity in that civil law. Are you with me? But in the moral law of God, we can't have that 15%. Just a little bit of adultery here. Just a little bit of theft here. Just a little bit of, you know. No, God has a complete standard he wants us to keep. So I said, God, I can't, you know, be impure in my heart at all. I can handle the speed limit business, but this one I've got to be pure. So God, what do I do? And the Lord showed me, you need to retrace your steps, and every time you fail, it starts one place. So I retraced my steps many times, and every time I failed, it came from here. Next slide. My television. Now, some of you don't know how television works, so I'm going to explain it to you real simply. Hollywood is the second floor, all right? They digest their ideas. They come out of their bodies. You can figure out where they come out. All right, and those ideas come down this pipe called either the internet or cable, and they come right into your house. They get pumped into your mind electronically. Now, some of you are like, that is very vulgar. I think it is, too. How many of you have ever seen something come on your television and you said, that was terrible. I wish I'd never seen that. Just put your hands up. All right, for those of you who didn't raise your hands, when you get a television, that could happen. Or you're just lying through your teeth. But that's okay. So I found that television caused me to fail. It caused me to become very stupid. Now some of you are going, oh man, I'm way smarter than you, Lloyd. And I undoubtedly you are. I want to try a little experiment with you, okay? You got full lights on me here. I want everyone to make a circle with your finger and your thumb. Just show it to me right now. Hold it up to me. Show me your circle. Everybody got a circle? All right? Put the circle on your chin. Just do it and be quiet. All right? Okay. Now don't move. I want to ask you one question. Where is your chin? Okay. If your chin is here and your circle is here, why is that? Because I told you, put the circle on your chin. Right? Didn't I? Well, you did this. Right? You know why you did this? Because you're stupid. Now, I don't want to tell anyone, but your pastor did that too, so. Oh, sorry. Now, close your eyes. Make a circle with your finger and your thumb. Put the circle on your chin. Most of you got it right this time. That's good. Okay, now listen to the scripture. Faith comes by what? Hearing the word of God. So many people say, if I see it, I'll believe it, right? You saw it, you believed it, you were deceived. That is what happens many, many times, especially in visual media. I'm not going to go and become all kinds of, start preaching against television and everything like that. I just want to tell you, be very careful what you put in front of your eyes, because it has the ability to easily deceive you. You've heard of David Copperfield? He made the Statue of Liberty disappear. He can do all kinds of things because there's trickery involved. And that's not just David Copperfield. That's almost every major media network. All right? That's why we're beginning to embrace all kinds of crazy ideas in our systems that we live in nowadays. We're having people believe that it's okay to do all kinds of things that are contrary to the Word of God. And I could mention getting married. When two men get married, that is what our media is telling us is normal. When you end a pregnancy, just say it's not a pregnancy, just call it something else. You change our language. There's all kinds of things. But the media is feeding us this. And I'm not saying everyone in media is evil. I'm just saying be careful that what you hear in media does not conflict with the Word of God. If the Word of God says one thing and the media says the other, I'm telling you one thing, the Word of God is true and the media is not. Again, I don't hate those people and I don't want you to begin to hate them. I just want you to recognize it. Are you with me? So, next slide. The Bible says it's better for you to enter heaven without cable, satellite, internet, or various magazine subscriptions than to go to hell with them. You're going, I've never read that. Well, practically It says in Mark chapter 9, if your hand offends you, cut it off. If your foot offends you, cut it off. If your eye offends you, pluck it out. So, Pastor Graham, I think everyone in your church, if they're really scriptural, should look like Captain Hook. You know? Well, I mean, what does it say? Right? Has your eye ever offended you? I tell you, it has. Has your foot offended you? Have you ever gone to a place you shouldn't have gone? Okay, man, chop it off. So what is God saying? He's saying you've got to deal radically with sin. You've got to extract the poison from your life. And next slide. In Philippians 2 verse 12, it says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. See, a lot of us, we just think, well, I'm on my way to heaven, Pastor Graham. I just get on the roller coaster ride and just go up and down and up and down, and eventually I get there. Well, there is some truth to that, but there's also a process of working it out. It's called the process of sanctification. That's an older word that not too many people use anymore, but it's basically allowing God to work out his salvation in your life. And we are participants. He doesn't do everything. God, by his grace, does so much. Thank you, Jesus. But he doesn't do everything. And sometimes he will tell you, Lloyd, you need to lose the TV. Right? And when he tells you that, you don't need to argue with him like I did. Oh, God, I'll just watch the sports and the news and I'll be good. And I do that for 2 weeks and then something comes on, I fail. And I'm like, oh, God, I'm so sorry. And God goes, stupid, lose the TV. Now, would God say something like that to me? No, he would say, thou fool. Right? If God tells you to lose something, lose it. Are you with me? Some of you are like, well, I don't know. Many times we continue to languish in a bondage or an addiction or a stronghold because we disobey the Father. He came, Christ came, to forgive us, but to make us free. And I'm so glad he did. I've been free now, people. 20 years ago, I got rid of my TV. I don't even use an aerial anymore. Now you're going, oh, that's radical. Well, you know what? I believe my children need a father who walks in integrity and in purity. I want to tell you people, if you tell your children to do something and you don't do it yourself, your children are going to do what you do and not do what you say. And I want to warn you, especially men, your children need to see an incredible example of walking in integrity. Here's what I want you to do, especially men, but women as well. But if you mess up with your family, men, own it. Say, you know what? That isn't the right way. I'll give you one quick example and I'm going to be done. My son Garrett, who's 18, was learning how to drive. We were coming back from London and I was kind of in a hurry, and he was driving slow because he's learning how to drive. And my wife stopped to let the little one go to the restroom, and took about 5 minutes. Finally, everybody gets back in the van, and then Garrett decides he needs to make a phone call. So he calls someone, and it takes another 3 or 4 minutes. And I'm frustrated at him. I said, that was stupid, Garrett. And, I mean, you know, doesn't he realize how important I am, how important my time is, all this stuff? This is a joke, people. And he's like, he's hurt. So he just looks at me and he says, Dad, you really hurt me when you said that. Did you think I was trying to be stupid or trying to make everybody wait? I just forgot to call. And I, so as he said that to me, I said, nothing for a little while. And then I really felt the Lord saying to me, you need to apologize to your son. And I'm thinking, I have to apologize to a snot-nosed 18-year-old, Lord? That's not going to happen. And the Lord said, do you want my grace? I said, yes. And he said, apologize. So I just said, hey, Garrett, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. That was wrong for me to do. And he said, just don't ever do it again, Dad. Don't you love it when people just graciously accept your apologies? I'm like, But you see, God has taught me that his grace is worth everything. Regardless of what other people do, I need it. 5 minutes later, he's driving down the road. A deer struts right in front of our van. I'm like, Garrett. And he just jumps on the brakes, doesn't swerve, doesn't lose control. He stops right just before we hit the deer. He just looks at me and goes, what, Dad? the Lord's really impressed on my mind, I gave you grace because you walked in humility. Do you want grace? Walk in humility. So, have faith. Have humility. You're going to get extravagant grace when you humble yourself. And you've got to extract the poison. I don't know exactly what kind of poisons you have in your life, but you have them. And God has spoken to many of you to get rid of them. And I'm encouraging you again, obey the Holy Spirit when He tells you to lose something. Don't do what I did. Do what He tells you to do. Because see, if you're struggling with chocolate chip cookies and you get rid of your TV, that's not going to help you. If you're struggling with overspending and you get rid of your TV, that's not going to help you. You got to lose whatever the Holy Spirit tells you to lose. All right? So don't get mad at me and say, hey, that guy told me I had to get rid of my TV. Say, if you want to get mad at anyone, get mad at the Father and deal with Him. Because He knows what you need to lose. All right? Next slide. Next slide. What are you bound with today? Pride, lust, gossip, gambling, hatred, envy, bitterness, idols, overspending, overeating, drugs, alcohol, lying, pornography, fear, anger, work, entertainment, anxiety, depression, video games, only God and you know for sure. Look at that list for a moment and ask yourself, could I write my name under one of those words? Because if you could, you are why I came here today. I came here, I'm a mechanic. I have my license as an automobile mechanic. I could easily make a living doing that, but God called me to bring freedom to His body. And this is the part of the body that I want to talk to you today. My heart is to see everyone in this room walk out of this room today completely free. But there are some of you today who are not, and I want you to be free. So if you're a candidate for freedom, if you could write your name under one of those words, I'm going to pray with you. All right? I'd like you to all just bow your heads, close your eyes. Now, at the beginning of my talk, I talked about how I was headed my own way, headed for destruction. And one day, I heard that I could have my sins forgiven. And I made a turn. I turned around and began to go a different way. That was when I repented. How many in this room would say, Lloyd, I'm headed the wrong way. I need to turn around and go a different way. Pray with me today. All over this room, just raise your hand. How many would say, that's me, I'm going the wrong direction. There's one, there's two, there's three, four, five, six. Headed the wrong direction. I need to make a turn. Seven. Anyone else? Eight. I need to make a change here. All right, for those who raise your hands, you can put them down. Here's what I want you to do. The Bible says, and I want you to do this as I said.